Welcome to another edition of The Compass, a podcast ministry of Calvary Baptist Church of Fayetteville, Arkansas. I'm your host, Dan Carson, pastor of Family Ministries here at Calvary. We're thrilled that you've chosen to find us online as we continue our study through God's Word. Now, if you gain some wisdom and direction through our study of the Word, be sure to hit the subscribe button and to share this podcast with others in your life. If you have questions about the Word or about our ministry here in Fayetteville, let me encourage you to reach out. You can find us at info@calvaryfayetteville.com or call us at 479-442-4634. Now, on today's podcast, I'll be sharing a message from the Gospel according to Mark from chapter 7, verses 23 through 37.
Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 7. We're going to be looking at verses 23 through 37. Actually, verse 24 through 37, that's where we'll start. Mark 7, 24 through 37. You know, I was talking to Georgia before the service started. She said, "You're preaching? All right, we get out early." There might be a little bit of that. That happens. I'm not as verbose as our pastor, but hopefully as we seek God's Word together, we're going to find the truths that He wants us to see today. You know, today we're continuing our study through the Gospel according to Mark. Pastor Kirk has been leading us through Mark since the beginning of this crazy year. Now, we paused in the middle of the year as we looked at Jonah and how that fit into what was and what is happening in our world. I loved our study there as we talked about race and nationalism and some things that we often don't think about when we look at the book of Jonah. We often think about that big fish and we think about what happened to him. But we were exposed to some great things. Now, let me remind you, if you want to go back and listen to any of those early messages through Mark, you can easily catch up by going to our podcast at calvaryfayetteville.com. You can get to there at podbean.com or through our Apple podcast app. Now, speaking of podcasts, you may be aware or not that I host a podcast about student ministry with my friends Chris Vines and Micah Powell. For those that have been to church camp, you've met Micah. Micah has been the speaker for the past couple of years. He led worship there as well. But those are great guys. I spent a lot of time with them. That podcast is a part of my work as the director for the BMA of Arkansas Youth Department. We cover a lot of ground in our episodes. Most of the time it's spiritual. Other times we talk about food and we talk about all sorts of goofiness. But the podcast isn't just for student ministry workers. I've had the opportunity to interview the president of Central Baptist College, the head of our missions department, John David Smith. I've interviewed authors and a host of others. In fact, this coming Monday, I'm going to be interviewing the president of Ouachita Baptist University and the head of their campus ministries. And so it's a lot of fun for me as I get to meet people and be exposed to them. Now, you can find that through most major podcasting apps under the name Student Ministry Matters. Now, why do I bring that up? Well, it's not to toot my own horn or to get you to download so we'll have more downloads, although that wouldn't hurt my feelings. I bring it up because I've done something at the beginning of those podcasts. Most of them, when I interview someone, I want to get to know them. So I ask about their call to Christ. Essentially, how they came to meet Jesus in that process. And I've loved hearing their stories. In fact, it's become one of my favorite things to hear. You know, if we end up having a few minutes, don't be surprised if I ask you that same question. How did you come to meet Jesus? And as I've listened to many tell their stories, there's a common denominator, one thing that kind of stands out. Someone brought them to Jesus. Now, these others don't save the people that I've interviewed. Only Jesus does that. However, their influence is undeniable as they have carried that person to Jesus. Now, maybe not in as dramatic a form as the four friends who lifted their friend through a roof to meet Jesus, but their actions had essentially that same impact. In a way, you were carried to Jesus by someone. Think about, for those of you who grew up in church, your mom and dad made it a priority that you were in church every time the doors were open. For some of us, that was our life. For others, it was different. It was somebody who loved and cared about you, invited you to an event, invited you to a church camp, invited you to a conference. There was someone there who, in essence, carried you to Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at our text today and study God's Word from the book of Mark. So let's go ahead and stand. We're going to read this together. Mark chapter 7, beginning of verse 24. In Mark 7, verse 24, the Bible says, "And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, 'Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' But she answered him, 'Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs.' And he said to her, 'For this statement you may go your way, the demon has left your daughter.' And she went home and found the child laying in bed, and the demon was gone." Continuing on in verse 31, it says, "Then he returned from the region of Tyre and Sidon and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, 'Ephphatai,' that is, 'be opened.' And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, 'He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak.' This is the word of the Lord." You may be seated. Well, here we find two different encounters with Jesus. But in them, we find some common denominators. We're going to look at those. But let's start by outlining what we're going to learn today as we move through God's Word together. We're going to see two things. Number one, that God desires a relationship with those that can't help themselves. That statement describes every single one of us. We can't help ourselves spiritually. We may think we can. We think if we go to church enough, if we read the Bible enough, if we pray enough, we can be made right with God. But that is absolutely false. The only way that we can have a relationship with God is through Jesus Christ, through faith in Him. So God desires a relationship with those that can't help themselves. Now, as Americans, we don't like to think about being helpless. We think we're strong, we're independent. When I moved to Texas to go to seminary, we were at a smaller church, Stone Ridge Baptist Church in Kilgore, Texas. And I was just amazed at the independent spirit that these Texans had. They just didn't want to help. They didn't want help. And so when I'd find out that people were hurting or needed to be prayed for or any of those type of things, I always had to kind of work my way into those relationships because they had a very independent spirit. The truth is, they were helpless. I'm helpless. Without God, we're all helpless. God desires a relationship with those that can't help themselves. Secondly, God wants us to bring the helpless to Jesus. For those of us who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, our job, our responsibility is to bring those helpless to Christ. In our text this morning, we come across two different accounts linked by their helplessness and how Jesus impacted their lives. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. Bringing the helpless to Jesus. It's our job. It's our responsibility. We may find ourselves in that state that we need to be brought before Jesus. We may have great need in our life. I know I do. We all have a need for Jesus, all need for salvation. And if you haven't accepted Christ, if you haven't made that decision, if you haven't walked into that relationship, that's where it starts. But let's look at this first encounter. Jesus encounters a Gentile, and a Gentile is healed. Now, we find this in Mark 7, verses 24 through 30, but we also find the same story in Matthew 15, 21 through 28. So as we go through, we're going to make reference to that passage towards the end of this point, but I just want you to know that it is in two different spots. The story, as we know, in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we have similar stories as they line up. The Gospel of John is set up a little bit different, but just remember that if you look at a harmony of the Gospels, it's going to reference those first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So, what do we want to see here? There are a few things about this portion of our text that stand out. Number one, the woman who approached Jesus was a Gentile. Now, we've heard that term. We don't think a lot of that term. Just we don't consider it much is what I'm referring to. Well, it's not doesn't seem like a big deal now. It was a very big deal at the time. God had set apart the children of Israel. Ultimately, he was doing this to bless the nations. This woman was a Syrophoenician by birth. That means that she and her little daughter would have been outcasts in Jewish society. A Syrophoenician was a person from a nation that had been incorporated into the Roman province of Syria, thus the name Syrophoenician. Being a Gentile refers to a racial and religious divisions that separated this woman from Jesus and his immediate followers there. Now, if you remember from last week, Pastor Kirk referred to Peter's vision while on a rooftop in Acts 10. In that vision, he saw all sorts of food that had previously been called unclean according to Jewish law and Jewish tradition. This vision was a way for God to tell Peter that he was to tell Cornelius about Jesus. The barrier between Jew and Gentile was torn down, and he wanted Peter to understand this. Now, Pastor Kirk has let us know in previous weeks that the gospel, according to Mark, is through the telling of Peter in his viewpoint. Knowing that Peter's vision occurred before the recording of this gospel, it's no surprise that Peter included this. Think about that. He remembered that Jesus was tearing down the boundary even during his earthly ministry. When asked for help for the daughter, Jesus replied with this: "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." In essence, Jesus was saying that I came to bring my message to the Jewish people first. That's what he was doing. He was there to tell them, to show them. He was the chosen, he was the Messiah, he was who they were waiting on. God had promised to bless the people of all nations through his chosen people first. But I love the woman's response. She says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Now, I don't know if you have a dog in your house. We're on our third dog with our family, and all of them like hanging out around us while we eat because things naturally fall to the ground. Such a vivid picture that she paints. You know, she wasn't asking for favored status. She was simply asking for a little of that blessing. And Jesus replies, "For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And Jesus brings about healing and change, even those of a different racial and religious background. He didn't hold those things against that person. And as the Father pulled this woman closer to himself, Jesus provided the relief and change that the woman and her daughter needed. It doesn't matter our background now. Jesus wants to impact our lives. It doesn't matter the religious background of those around us. God wants to impact their lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, growing up, this whole area was very much a Christian area. Much of the state, much of the South has always been considered a Christian area. But as this community, Northwest Arkansas, has grown, we have people of all different faiths that have moved in, especially as you look up around the Walmart home office, and it spreads out from there. There are people of all sorts of belief systems. You may be reluctant to share your faith with the Jewish, with a Muslim, with a Mormon, or the Jehovah's Witness, but God wants to impact their lives just as he impacted you. God has given us that calling to spread the gospel. He has made us a Great Commission church and Great Commission believers. And because of that, we must look beyond their race, their religion, and share with them the most important thing of all, Jesus Christ. That's what he's calling us to do. Number two, the woman who approached Jesus was bringing her child to Jesus. Mark uses the word little referring to the child. Do we know how old this child was? No. But I got to think that if we're referring to a little child, we're maybe referring to someone who's maybe four or younger. And can you imagine the heartache and pain that this mother felt, knowing that this child was possessed by a demon? That's just outside of our thinking. You know, we have trouble when we see our children have a cold. But this child was afflicted with something far greater, far more dangerous. In a very real way, this child was helpless. She couldn't and wouldn't go to Jesus on her own. Her mother was her hope at this point. Now, could her mother save her? No. But she could carry her need to the one that could. There are many people in our lives that are spiritually helpless and need to be carried to Jesus. We need to bring them to Jesus in prayer and in person. We lift them before the Father by sharing their needs in prayer. Then we tell them about the saving power found in Jesus Christ. Too many of us are afraid to use the words to share with them, Jesus saves, because they seem old and archaic. They seem like we're going to push people away. We're going to be rejected ourselves. But that's what we've got to do. This little girl couldn't express or seek out help on her own. She was dependent on others. The lost men and women in our lives, they're dependent on God intervening through us. God wants to use us. He expects to use us. That's why we're still here on this planet. God has chosen to use the men and women of Calvary Baptist Church to reach the lost of Fayetteville, Farmington, Springdale, Cave Springs, West Fork. I'm trying to make sure I cover all the towns, but just all of Northwest Arkansas. It is our job, our responsibility, and he wants to use us. He wants to use us in that process of seeing them come to him. Number three, the woman who approached Jesus with her little daughter saw God work in big ways. The child was healed. And when we carry people to the Father through prayer and in-person presentation, we will have the opportunity to see God work in big ways. In Matthew 15, 28, remember I said this passage is the one that is covered the same event, the same things, but it's found in the book of Matthew. There it says, then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. God wants to bless Calvary Baptist Church. I'm convinced of it. God wants to work through Calvary Baptist Church to impact the area, Northwest Arkansas and beyond. Well, what that means is that we must be willing and ready to carry the helpless to Jesus. Are we doing that? When we have our prayer meetings, are we praying for the lost in our lives? Do you know any lost people? That's usually what happens is we have great relationships. We love each other. We care about one another as Christians. Then we seem to, our circle gets smaller. And we don't know lost people. We have to intentionally find the lost people in our lives to tell them about Jesus Christ, to share with them, because they are helpless without him. We're helpless without him. We've got to remember that. Well, the second encounter that I want us to look at is found in verses 31 through 37. There we find that Jesus encounters the unwanted, and the unwanted is healed. Beginning in verse 31, and there it says, then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis, and they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. They begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to the heavens, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatai, that is, be open. And his ears were open, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the word of the Lord. There's so much hope found in these two passages. Because we all find ourselves in that place where we are helpless without Jesus Christ. We start with this little girl and this Syrophoenician woman. Either case, if you looked at this woman because of her religious and her racial background, she shouldn't have been able to have a relationship with God, but Jesus breaks down those barriers. This little girl was helpless in the fact that she was a little girl. She wouldn't have had access to Jesus. She might not even been able to communicate those things to Jesus. But she was carried to Jesus, in essence, by her mother. Here we find another person that on his own, in his own power, would not have had that relationship with Jesus. What do we see here? Well, number one, the unwanted man does not have the power to even hear about change on his own. The passage of Scripture tells us that he is deaf. Now, I know that the deaf in our community, the deaf in our country, have the ability to use sign language now. Was sign language as prevalent back then? I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. I'm sure that this person was able to communicate in basic ways to those around him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to live. Being deaf and mute, though, this individual lacked the ability to receive the information about Jesus in the same way that we do. You heard somebody tell you about Jesus, about his love, about his gospel, transforming power that could be a part of your life. You heard those things. His physical disabilities would have set him apart from his community. Now, most saw affliction as a punishment for sin in those days. It might be the person's sin or the family sin, but in either case, this man would have been on the fringes of society. We often struggle with how to respond with those that have physical or mental disabilities in our own lives. I have been so pleased and so happy to be a part of Calvary because of the way that we take care of some of the special people in our congregation. That means a great deal. That shows love. But in this case, this man, this individual, would have been fighting some of those things. They were often among those that were unwanted. Now, the difference we find in number two. The unwanted man does have friends that bring him to Jesus. While many that live on the edges of society don't have friends or questionable ones at best, this man had hope. And he had people who had heard of Jesus and wanted to see their friend receive healing. Again, think about your life. Who brought you to Jesus? Was it a mom? Was it a dad? Was it a grandparent? Was it someone in your community? Was it a friend that you had at school and said, hey, come with us to church. I want you to hear about this Jesus guy. Who was it that did that? This person had some friends that brought him to Jesus, knowing that Jesus could do something in his life. Are you that type of friend? That's what God wants us to be, and that's what we're trying to understand today. And number three, the unwanted man experiences the healing that only Jesus can bring. You know, if we look back at verse 33, and on, we see that he takes him aside, and it's kind of an unusual way for it to be described, but he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue, looked up to the heaven and said, be open, and his ears were open, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. I want you to think about that. This person, whether this individual was deaf for many years, all of his life, said that he had a speech impediment. He wasn't able to communicate the same way that we do. And we know those that can't hear, it affects the way that they speak. That's what's amazing to me. Because his tongue is released and he spoke plainly. And I'm not sure why that always amazes me more. Jesus took something that was the result of a disability and turned it around completely. God wants to do the same in our lives. We may feel unwanted, we may feel like we're on the edges of society, but he wants to bring about big change in our life. If you don't know Jesus Christ, he can change you in ways that you can't even imagine right now. Now, there is a hard saying here, a hard saying of Jesus for all of us to understand a little bit. He goes on, he says that Jesus tells them not to tell others about what has happened. That has never made any sense to me. I don't know about you. But we find that throughout the early parts of the gospel saying, don't tell others about me. Don't tell others about me. But now, that's our responsibility, is to tell others about Jesus Christ. Well, at this point, it was what Jesus had wanted. While it was not an order, to not share about Jesus' life-changing power, it was just about when to share. He didn't want them sharing now. The simple thing is that they disobeyed. And we mustn't fall into that trap. We are always to obey what Jesus has for us. Sometimes his commands aren't going to make a whole lot of sense to us. But if it's clear in God's word, then we need to step through in that place. So as we look at these two individuals, these two helpless people that can't get to Jesus on their own, what do we learn? Well, we know that we are to be involved in that process. As we look at these two stories, we're reminded what we need to be about as believers and as a church. God has called us to carry the gospel message to the people around us. Again, coworkers, schoolmates, neighbors, family members. The list can go on of people that need Jesus that are all around us. God calls us to serve as his messengers. So as we look at our task, be the mother. We need to carry the helpless to Jesus. We should be praying for our family, lifting them to the Father. We may not have the power or the ability, being close or maybe stressed relationships for whatever reason, but we need to pray for our family. We should be telling our family about Jesus. We should set aside any preconceived ideas about who God is going to help or not and bring the spiritually helpless in our lives to Jesus Christ. God calls us to be the mother in this situation, to carry the lost and helpless to Jesus. We're to be the friends. The deaf and mute man was physically helpless on his own. His friends had to communicate what Jesus could do. And at the right time, they took this man to Jesus, and Jesus did the work. God calls us to bring our friends to Jesus through prayer and through in-person presentation. What does that mean? Eventually, we can live for Jesus in front of people and let our life be a witness. But at some point, we have to tell people what it takes to be a Christ follower. We have to communicate that. We can't just say, just follow me and you'll eventually get it. We have to talk to them about their sin, about their need for a Savior, how they can accept Christ. We have to communicate those things. And you may think, well, I don't know how to say that the right way. We share it. The Holy Spirit is the one who does the work. And so if you want to learn how to do that, if you need some help in learning how to do that, you can follow simple things. Look up the Roman Road. The Roman Road is a great way to share the gospel. You don't even have to memorize anything. All you have to do is to carry a Bible that has the book of Romans and have each passage marked in there, and you can walk anybody through their that salvation process. But there are other ways, other things. I've gone through Evangelism Explosion. I've used tracts before. Some of you have learned those different methods. But the simple truth is that God calls us to share the gospel, to carry our friends, to carry our family to Jesus Christ. We're to bring the lost and helpless to Jesus. That's our call. That's our mission. Earlier in the service, we read Matthew 28, 16 through 20, specifically in 18 through 20, we are given our marching orders. God has called us to carry the gospel, to be his messengers throughout the world and out throughout our community. And as we go out into the world, God calls us to carry the gospel to the lost and the helpless of our world. Someone did it for us. Think about it. Somebody did that for you. It may have been a pastor. It may have been the preacher at a revival service. It may have been a camp speaker. It may have been a friend or a sponsor at church camp. I think about my daughter. Y'all know Kat. She's full of words all the time, and we love her. I remember just her heart when she started talking to me about, I need to accept Jesus. I need to follow Jesus. And I put her off a little bit because I wanted to make sure that she understood the decision that she was making. So I said, well, let's talk about it. No, Dad, I need to get saved, and I need to get saved now. Well, all right, Kat, we'll talk more about it. So what does she do? In Kat-like fashion, she goes to her camp counselor, Miss Miriam Ketcherin at Temple Baptist Church that night, and just says, I need to get saved. Went around me, and that's okay, because there was no doubt in my mind of what she needed to do, of what she wanted to do. And I was so thankful that Miss Miriam was there to show her Jesus. So there may have been somebody in your life. There was somebody close, somebody that loved you, somebody that was there to share Jesus with you. Let's be a part of that process. Let's tell others about Jesus. I've got two questions to kind of wrap things up this morning. The first is this: who carried you to Jesus? Was it a mom or dad? Was it a youth pastor? Was it the preacher at your church? Was it, you know, I could keep going through a list and eventually we might run into it. It's very rare that you're going to find somebody who has just picked up a Bible, read it, and found Jesus that way. Now, it happens. I've heard Gideon presentations, love hearing Gideon presentations, but I hadn't ever met somebody on my own until this time at Midwestern for my class. We're at lunch. We're sitting around the table just kind of sharing stories while we're eating, getting to know one another better, and we find out that the person that's sitting across from me, his name's Christopher, he works at the seminary in IT now, but how did he get to a relationship with God? He picked up a Bible and read it, and he accepted Jesus through that interaction. That's the exception. Most of the time, God has us in a relationship with people, and they share with us Jesus. But I was so excited to hear that, to hear and to see the power of God's word. This young man who is with IT, with the school, is also working on his PhD now in theology. Incredible story. God wants to work through you to carry people to Jesus. So, who carried you to Jesus? And then the second question is, who are you going to carry to Jesus? Now, as for those of us who are parents, that is our primary responsibility, to show our children Jesus Christ, to show them how they can have a relationship with Jesus. That's where it starts. Grandparents, and I know that there's some of you out there, that's a part of your responsibility, to show your grandchildren Jesus Christ. God is calling us to those interactions. Then on top of that, there are people that you interact with, maybe that you work with, maybe that you go to school with, maybe that you live next to. God wants us to be carrying those people to Jesus. How do we do that? Well, two simple steps. I've already talked about them today. You may have caught on to that already. First of all, we pray for them. We have prayer meetings here once a month, second Sunday night of the month. I want us to be praying for the lost in our lives. I want you to have a list going on in your mind of those people are lost. I need to be praying for this person and this person and this person. And you may not know their spiritual standing, but we start praying for them anyway. So we pray for them. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a grandchild. Maybe it's a cousin or coworker, or any number of things. The second thing that we need to do is that we need to be involved in the presentation of the gospel. That's harder. That's scarier. But we present the gospel out of a relationship with that person. We don't just walk around and hit people over the head with our Bible and say, get saved. Now, that's not my personality. I don't think that's, some of you, that might be your personality. That you like that confrontational style. And there are some that do, but that's not me. I'd rather have a relationship with somebody, show them that I care for them, I love them, and then show them Jesus. But that's what we need to be involved in as a church. Think about this little girl whose life was impacted by Jesus Christ. Think about this deaf man who was impacted by Jesus Christ. Think about your own life. You were impacted by Jesus Christ and his saving power. And he wants you to be involved in that process today. That's my encouragement. That's my hope. That's my prayer for Calvary Baptist Church. If we want to reach Fayetteville, if we want to grow, if we want to have a lasting legacy here, it starts by having a heart for the lost. That's what God is calling us to. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for how you work in big and small ways in our lives. And we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, I just ask that you help us to be able to share that message with those around us. Father, help us to love on others, to show them that Jesus loves them. And then, Father, help us to present that gospel message. Father, there are so many that are helpless. We're helpless without you. We can't do this in our own power, and we're not going to try to. So we ask for that today. We ask for your power and your hope. Father, forgive us where we fail you. In Christ, and we pray, amen.
Our heart's desire is that you grow and understand the direction God has for you in your life. We hope that by listening today, you are one step closer to discovering that for yourself. If you live in Northwest Arkansas and are looking for a church to call your own, we invite you to reach out to us at Calvary as we study and serve together. We meet for worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings at 1410 North Porter Road in Fayetteville, Arkansas. If you wish to find out more information about Calvary Church or simply contact us, you can do that through our Facebook page or at calvaryfayetteville.com. Until next time, remember that God, His Word, and His people can provide direction for life.